fighting for America.
There is a problem in the Middle East. Mad Islamists.
We're close today to 2,000 rockets have been fired from Gaza on our cities.
Utter just destruction. Everything's been destroyed. I'm just overwhelmed.
Fighting for Idaho.
Harry Reid lives in the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, D.C. And I'm sure from his perspective, the border seems secure. President Obama and Harry Reid, both divorced from the facts and divorced from the reality.
Fighting for you.
Here we have a few members of the establishment who are trying to say, we know what you did at the convention, but forget that. Go enjoy your beer, ride your ATV, and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Remember who your friends are.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. The last time we had this gentleman on, I pretty much hogged him, so not going to do that. We have questions. You have questions or comments for Ed Klein, author of Bloodsport. We will take those at 580-5436. 580-KIDO. So, you know, this happens every two or three years, Ed Klein. You write a book. You find out things that no one else does, and whether it's the Obamas, the Clintons, Katie Couric, the Queen, Hillary Clinton, vice versa, everybody condemns you. And I think it was like last week on the Drudge Report, the Clintons were after you again. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you, Kevin?
I'm good. I'm just trying to keep up with your adventures. And I go, I know you're a veteran journalist. I know you're well-researched, but does it ever get old, the reaction you get from the political establishment?
Not really, because, you know, when they start throwing ugly words at you rather than at the facts in the book, which is what they're doing, I just shrug. Blood feud, the Clintons versus the Obamas, has not been challenged on a single fact. It's only Ed Klein this, Ed Klein that. It's the usual liberal establishment going after the messenger rather than the message.
And speaking of the message, and there are many issues that we want to talk about, but I have to go back to the last conversation we had that has been picked up by a lot of folks that are talking about your book, that Bill Clinton's dying wish is even to use his funeral to propel Hillary to the presidency.
Yeah, they had that conversation, as you recall, and I write about it in the book, A Blood Feud, which is that Bill, coming from his doctor, who just told him that his heart disease was progressive and getting worse, was thinking about his mortality and was discussing this with Hillary and some of her friends, and said, you know, if I should die, here's what I want you to do. First of all, I want to be buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Now, here's a draft dodger who wants to be buried in Arlington. Because I was president, that meant I was commander-in-chief, and so I'm entitled. And then I want you to have a big state funeral. I want you to put on your widow weeds, dress in black. There's going to be a huge outpouring of sympathy for you, and that's great, because if I die, that's worth a couple of million votes.
Who does that besides Bill Clinton?
I don't think anybody does it. I mean, you know, the rest of us think, you know, we die, and, you know, that's it. And some of us think we're going to go to heaven. Some of us think maybe we're not going to go to heaven. But none of us, I think, thinks in terms of it being worth a couple of million votes, other than Bill Clinton, of course.
Who's the most fascinating character? I think I already know the answer to this, between the four that you feature in this book.
Well, I feature, as you know, Bill and Hillary and Michelle and Barack. And it's hands down Bill Clinton, of course. He's a rogue. He's still living the good life. He's tooling around Hollywood in convertibles with a little fedora hat on, and Scarlett Johansson in the seat next to him. He's flying around the world in a $65 million twin-engine jet that flies at speed of Mach 1. And he lives in two huge mansions, one in Chappaqua. Actually, he lives in three places, Chappaqua, Washington, D.C., and then he's got his penthouse apartment on the fifth floor of the William Jefferson Clinton Library, where he throws some pretty nice parties, as you can imagine.
I can imagine that you're not there, but it's called Bill's Palace. And again, everybody in the news and the talk media talking about Bill's penthouse palace that, for most of us, no one knew until we picked up your book, Blood Feud.
And that's amazing, isn't it, when you stop to think about it. Why hasn't the national press covered Bill Clinton and Little Rock? And for that matter, why hasn't the Little Rock media covered Bill Clinton? And I'm the first journalist who's written a book in which there's a whole chapter about his life in Little Rock, which no one knew about until now.
Amazing. So are you, and let's go back to the amateur. Let's go back to your books on the Clintons and Hillary. Again, The Truth About Hillary. And this book right now, are you surprised at how the president is not handling the border situation?
No, because I'm not surprised. I'm dismayed. I'm upset. I'm enraged, actually, that this country is being overrun by these poor kids who are, you know, being transported hundreds and hundreds of miles from their homes and are pouring into our country where we're going to have to take care of them. But I'm not at all surprised that this president has not done what needs to be done, which is to seal that darn border. And it can be done. The Israelis have sealed the West Bank, where the Palestinians live, from Israel, and terrorism has plummeted to virtually nothing in terms of terrorism in Israel as a result. And we can do it too, but we have a president that just simply does not have the ability, the willpower, and the smarts to get it done.
Ed Klein joining us, Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. His book, Blood Feud, Blowing It Up, on the bestseller list. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Let's get back to you've provoked a lot of conversations here and around the country. I was talking to Dave Burnett about this. Is it really possible for someone, a female or a male, to be both a best friend of a wife and a husband, as Valerie Jarrett is? I think you got to favor one over the other.
Well, I think she's closer to Michelle than she is. Valerie Jarrett is closer to Michelle than she is to Barack, because she spends a lot of time alone with Michelle. At night, Valerie Jarrett, who has got this cockamamie title of the outreach person in charge of outreach, whatever the heck that means, she disappears into the elevator and goes upstairs to the residence, and she's nicknamed the Night Stalker by people in the White House, because she, as I say, disappears at night and has dinner with the president and the first lady and their daughters and grandma sometimes, who's also living in the White House. Valerie, by the way, lives in the White House. She has a permanent residence there. She has a staff of 40 people. She has Secret Service detail. She spends the evenings sharing a bottle of Chardonnay with Michelle and gossiping about everybody in the White House and helping foreign policy. And at one point, she and Michelle came up with a great nickname for Hillary Clinton, which indicates exactly what they think about Hillary. They call her Hilda Beast.
And, amazing.
It is amazing.
Now, let's go back to page 33 in your book, Blood Feud. I keep wanting to call it Blood Sport, but Blood Feud, the Clintons versus the Obamas. Ed Klein with us here. And the idea of reneging on a promise, and it goes back to Valerie Jarrett. Never mind that Clinton helped Obama get reelected. My words, not yours, Ed Klein, but we go to your words. Jarrett reminded Obama that it didn't matter what he promised Clinton in return for the former president's cooperation in the coming campaign. You are the president. You make the rules, she said. Now, you're in some hot water with the Clintons because you believe that the Obamas have found a candidate and it's not Hillary Clinton.
Well, I do. It's not, me that's in the hot water. It's the Clintons that are in hot water because the Obamas have President Obama has authorized Valerie Jarrett to have secret meetings with the far left wing senator from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren, who is kind of his mini me, his clone, very, very similar in their left wing fringe ideology. And, Valerie Jarrett has urged Elizabeth Warren to throw her hat into the ring and has offered her the full cooperation of the president, both financially, if she does so, and organizationally. I don't think Elizabeth Warren has decided what to do yet, and she may finally say no, but that's what they're doing right now, and that's exactly what Bill Clinton was afraid that Obama was going to do and feared and predicted he was going to do.
And you've outed them, and the Clintons come back on you.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Well, the Clintons are surrounded by these hitmen, a guy named Philippe Reynis, who has been Hillary Clinton's hitman. He's slimed CNN when reporters. He's slimed the New York Times reporters. He's slimed Rolling Stone reporters. I guess I'm in good, you know, good company when it comes to this character who's, you know, notorious in Washington for saying awful things about reporters.
Yeah, but Ed Klein, here's the skinny on you. If any of your facts were not correct, they would have you hauled away in court. They would be all over you.
Exactly. And not one single fact has been called into question in Blood Feud. So it's all attacks on me personally, but that nobody said, you know, this isn't true, that's not true, and I don't think they're ever going to.
How? And let's get back to another situation that you broke that has not been disputed, and that's the health of Hillary Clinton. Is it possible that she'll improve? I mean, you take a look at Bill Clinton, and I don't know if you saw the piece with David Gregory. He schooled him, and even in his own still diminished state, Clinton still has it. What about Hillary and her health?
Well, Hillary's health is not what she says it is. She says she's in the pink of health, which she's not. Her doctor has said that she has a heart valve problem, which, by the way, the Clintons have not denied, if you notice, in all these attacks on me.
Right.
And they considered doing heart valve replacement surgery, which is major, major surgery. You go under anesthesia and, you know, you're on a heart-lung machine for hours. So this is serious. She has to be monitored carefully. I'm not a doctor. I'm not predicting that she's disqualified from the presidency because of this. But I am saying that, you know, we should be seeing her medical records if she's running for president.
Ed Klein, on a totally unrelated note, one of your better books that didn't get a lot of attention than I thought it did, and that's how you and I bonded, the Katie Couric situation.
Right.
You revealed some fascinating things. I have your books all over the place. My favorite Ed Klein book. Are you surprised by Katie Couric that she never really found success after the Today Show?
You know, I've got some mixed feelings about Katie. I was in a restaurant the other day, like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and sitting on an outdoor table with a companion, and Katie Couric and her then boyfriend, who she's since married, came into the restaurant, and she looked at me and I looked at her. She went inside the restaurant, and I said to my companion, you know, I've written a book about Katie Couric, and it wasn't all very positive. And then suddenly out of the restaurant comes Katie Couric up to my table. And she puts her hand on my shoulder, her face leans toward my face, and she said, did you write that sleazy book about me just for money? And I said, no, Katie, I didn't write it just for money. I wrote it because you were the first woman full-time anchor on a major broadcast network, and it didn't work. And why didn't it work? Anyway, she went back into the restaurant. I wasn't surprised. I think she's a very talented woman in a certain area, and that is she's a perky, good interviewer. She was terrific on the Today Show. She's been totally miscast ever since. And, it's not surprising that CBS News ratings, evening news ratings, went down when she was there, and then they've come back up with Scott Pelley.
Well, and the fact that she tried a talk show, it didn't work. Now
That's
she's
right.
at Yahoo. Again, America's Sweetheart. And I urge people to go get that book that
you
wrote.
You can be America's Sweetheart just for so long.
Right.
And you get into your certain age, you know, you're no longer Sweet 16, if you know what I mean.
All too well, Ed Klein. more coming up with our friend Ed Klein.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get back to Ed Klein, author of Bloodsport, as we continue on. Ed, what do you think the next 2 years is going to bring in this ever-expanding drama between the Clintons and the Obamas?
Well, I think there's this animosity that we see now is just going to get worse and worse and worse, and that there's going to be little or no communication between these two major families who represent the two wings of the Democratic Party. And as their animosity deepens, I think we're going to see a greater and greater split in the Democratic Party as well.
How about on page 76 here, and it's not a quiz, when you talk about the idea that the president really did float the idea of Hillary Clinton replacing Biden. Bill Daley was floating that idea. Bill Clinton approaches the president on the golf course. The president thought Valerie Jarrett would keep it a secret. Is this any way to run a reelection campaign?
Well, you know, when I reported this business about the Obamas approaching Hillary to become the vice presidential running mate of Obama in 2012, everybody denied it. The White House denied it. The Clintons denied it. Once again, Ed Klein's making all this up. A year later, one whole year later, Heilemann and Halperin write a book called Game Change, Double Down, and they confirm every word that I had in my book. And the mainstream media says, hey, yeah, this is obviously true if they write it. It's, you know, it's a sad comment on our media today that they're so partisan that they are motivated by their ideology rather than by, you know, the facts and by what is true. They don't care what's true. They care, you know, whether it fits into their preconceived notions.
We go to the phones, and we go to Liberal Steve for Ed Klein here at 580 KIDO.
Hey, buenos dias. Welcome to the border.
Thank you.
Question for you, Mr. Klein. As far as Hillary's health, how can that even be close to a comparison against the king of running the White House, Dick Cheney's health? That was he. I mean, he was wired from head to toe. If anything would have happened to Mr. Bush and he was to take over as president of the United States,
well, Dick Cheney had terrible health. You're absolutely correct, and nobody denied it. He didn't deny it. It was an open issue. Well reported. The trouble is, in Hillary's case, she's running for president and hiding the truth, and that's the difference.
And the next question is...
Actually, no follow-ups. I have to keep him on a tight leash. Ed Klein with us once again here at 580KIDO. Blood feud, his sport, the Clintons versus the Obamas. You know, you have that crazy uncle sometimes, and I don't know if any of these folks have that. That's really what Liberal Steve is, Ed. He's kind of our crazy uncle.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about post-presidency. Can Michelle and Barack ever really equal, or do they want to equal, what Bill and Hillary have done post-presidency?
I think Barack certainly does. I think he is going to be a young man when he leaves the White House, 54, 55 years old. I mean, he's going to have presumably many years of good health and vigorous opportunities, and he looks at what Bill Clinton built, the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Global Initiative, this huge popularity that he's made this comeback from Monica Lewinsky and that scandal. And I think Barack Obama is looking at Bill Clinton's pattern as something that he himself would like to emulate. The difference, of course, is that he thinks, as so many former presidents do, that they can continue to run the Democratic Party, and that generally doesn't happen because new blood comes along and, you know, replaces them. But I do think he will form a huge foundation and write books and make speeches and make a lot of money.
Yeah, but a lot of that was attributed to Clinton himself does really Barack have the same passion, inner spirit that Clinton does?
He likes to make speeches, let's face that. I mean, that's the truth. He sometimes gives good speeches. He likes to be in front of crowds. He likes to be the object of adulation. Whether your point is, however, does he have the follow-through? Can he really implement anything? And I think your point is the one that you're implying is correct, that this is not a guy who knows how to implement things and get things done.
Finally, Ed Klein, what are you up to? Anything good? Staying out of trouble?
I'm always up to something good and something bad, too, at the same time. You know, you have to have a little fun in life. And I must say that being number one as the number one New York Times bestseller has been fun. Today's New York Times has a piece on the front page of their business section about how I knocked Hillary off, which I, of course, enjoy. Oh. And that's a lot of fun.
Well, we will link to that, and I know you've got to go. Always appreciate it, Ed. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. Great to be with you.
Take care. There you have it. Ed Klein, he is very quick with the hang-up. For those of you keeping track at home, maybe you're not. All right, you're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
6:39, K. Miller in the morning. Thank you for joining us. Let's exclusively go to Emily Wither now, Fox News Radio in Israel. Emily, good morning.
Hello, Kevin. Good morning. How are you?
Well, I wish it wasn't as action-packed as your day is going. Obviously, the Gaza situation continues to unfold. We've got some Israeli casualties. You're on the ground. What's going on?
It's certainly intensified over the weekend. So even though Secretary of State John Kerry is headed to Cairo to talk about a possible ceasefire, on the ground, the fighting has intensified, and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said that they are willing to continue this operation until they have stopped the rocket fire from Gaza for good, and they've blocked the tunnels that Hamas uses to try and smuggle themselves into Israel and carry out attacks. Also, on the side of the Palestinians inside Gaza, the leaders there have certainly given no indication that they're looking for a ceasefire either, and they have been increasing their rocket attacks into Israel. More rockets coming today from the Gaza Strip, despite this ground operation. And throughout all of this, it's civilians that are getting caught in the crossfire. More than 500 Palestinians have now been killed inside Gaza. More than half of them are civilians, and 20 Israelis have been killed. 18 of them are soldiers. So the death toll is rising on both sides.
Emily, what's the mood in Israel itself with the civilian populace?
People in Israel are torn because, for the most part, they support their government to carry out this operation because, for them, it's unacceptable that they have to live their lives in fear under rockets coming down and also worrying about when the next attack might be through one of these tunnels. So they want the operation in Gaza to make their lives safer. But at the same time, there have been small pockets of Israelis that have gone out and protested against the operation because they're concerned about the number of civilians that are getting caught in the crossfire. And emotions are starting to run very high here. I'm seeing people just argue on the streets about this, about what the right thing to do is. People are very caught up in it. And while life is carrying on here as normal, you can slowly start to see now that the conflict is starting to affect people a little bit more, particularly because here in Israel, it's mandatory to be in the army. So before you go to college, you have to fight as an Israeli soldier, men and women. And over 50,000 reservists have been called up. So many in the country know a reservist. It's a small country. There's only 6 million people. So many here know people that are involved in the fighting, and they're starting to become very concerned and worried about their safety.
Emily Wither joining us live from Israel here at 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Emily, when we take a look at the Israeli government, the Egyptian government, they brokered a peace deal, but Hamas decided to shoot that down. Is there any hope for any type of compromise? Apparently, John Kerry wants to come over there, but really nobody wants him.
He's on his way to the Middle East to talk about a ceasefire, but no one seems to be ready for it at the moment. Eventually, the two sides will stop fighting. I mean, this isn't just going to go on and on. But the difficulty here is that Hamas feel they have nothing to lose. They don't have the regional support that they used to, and so they really are willing to fight this to the bitter end. The issue is that for Hamas, they don't want to stop the fighting now just to see a return to calm. They want to actually see a difference on the ground. They want to see the blockades lifted on the Egyptian and Israeli side so they can move goods in and out more freely and people can come and go. And they also want to see the release of prisoners that were rearrested by the Israelis while they were searching for that for the three missing teenagers in the West Bank. So for Hamas, they're willing to see this through until their demands are met.
Emily Wither with us here, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. How concerned are the Israeli citizens that the folks from Hamas go through these tunnels to kidnap them and do bad things to them? Is that a real-life threat, and how big are these tunnels?
I think it depends on where you live in the country. People living in the south are very concerned about this, and over the last few days, there have been all sorts of warnings and moments when the police have told them they have to lock their doors and stay inside because terrorists have infiltrated Israel through these tunnels. The Israelis have uncovered up to 20 tunnels now, and they've been trying to destroy them. Just today, there were two attempts where a group of militants tried to get into Israel through tunnels, and the Israelis stopped them. But there have been other cases where militants have been able to get more deep into Israel and the soldiers have had to fight them back. So it is definitely a worry if you're living in these southern areas because the tunnels are popping out next to your homes and your cities. If you're living deeper into Israel, like here in Jerusalem or in Tel Aviv, the tunnels themselves aren't such a worry. But, of course, one of the ways that Hamas restocks its weapons and supplies is also through tunnels. Not on the Israeli side, though, mostly on the Egyptian side for that.
And what about the reaction of anybody else, the Egyptians, the Syrians, anybody else concerned about this? Obviously, these images are not doing much for the Israeli public opinions with the Hamas staging their troops within these densely populated areas. They want the images of the innocent civilians being killed. What effect is that having in the region?
People are very angry towards Israel, even more so than usual. They usually get a bit angry at Israel, but at the moment they are. And there has been protests all over the world against the operation in Gaza, not only here in the region, but also in Paris. There was a huge demonstration against Israel's operation in Gaza. There was one in London where over 100,000 people attended. So people have been getting out there and protesting. But interestingly, one of the things you do hear often from Palestinians in Gaza is, where are our Arab brothers? Where is the rest of the Arab world? Why are they not condemning this and why are they not helping us? So I think many Palestinians feel a little bit abandoned by other nations in the region because releasing a statement is one thing, but I think they'd like to see a little bit more support than what they receive at the moment.
Emily, finally, what about Benjamin Netanyahu, his thoughts on whether or not this is going to cease anytime soon?
The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been very clear that they will carry on this operation for as long as necessary. 13 Israeli soldiers were killed yesterday in what was probably the worst fighting actually we've seen since this operation began on the ground between Israeli soldiers and Palestinian fighters in a very populated area to the east of the Gaza Strip. And just after the announcement of the death of those soldiers, the Prime Minister popped up on television for a public announcement saying that they would carry on this operation and that they were going to fight to the end. So not quite quote-unquote, but that they were willing to keep at this. So certainly when it comes to whether the Israelis are feeling they need to pull out because of the casualties, that definitely isn't the case if you listen to the Prime Minister.
Emily Wither, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Emily Wither, live from Israel. We go now at 580 KIDO to Owen Eagle. Good morning, O.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. How are you?
How do you top Emily Wither?
Well, I don't think you possibly can. She's pretty good.
She is.
She's great.
What can we do for you?
Well, I was calling in a little while ago when you were talking about the post Barack Obama, presidency, and I thought of a perfect job for him.
Okay.
I think he should drive that little tractor, at the golf course that picks up all the loose balls on the driving range. That would be a perfect job for him.
Right.
It'll keep him busy. He won't need a teleprompter. Hmm. And best of all, the Republicans can take out their frustrations, ongoing frustrations, by whacking, you know, line drives at him and stuff.
Oh, from Eagle joining us at 580KIDO. Oh, how does the conservative comedian empire go?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what's left of the conservative empire here in Idaho, who's in charge and who's not in charge.
Well, that's a good thing. You got any riffs on who's in charge of the Republican Party? Remember, your friend Barry Peterson's listening right now.
No, I don't have any riffs on anybody. I think it's kind of interesting. It's like a giant soap opera, but it'll eventually shake itself out. I'm not too worried about it. I'm pretty sure none of these people are going to start voting for Democrats anytime soon.
What about you? Would you throw your hat into the ring? This could be your big break. You could be the chairman of the GOP.
No. I'm way too smart for that, Kevin.
You'd have our vote and, you know, possibly some unsolicited support from Tea Party Bob and Pat from Middleton, all the big stars.
Hey, I love your crew, but that's not something I'm going to go do anytime soon.
Well, when's your next appearance?
I know at least the Republican women's group is still intact. Maybe I'll go talk to them.
Well, that would be good. So you need to hire a new agent.
I've got a new video coming out pretty soon, so I'll call back when it's ready to roll.
Well, you know, because we live to serve you as your promotional vehicle here, O.
And you do a fine job of it, Kevin.
Well, thank you. You have a great day, sir.
You do the same. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, our great friend Owen Eagle at 580KIDO. Hope you're starting your day. We're trying to do it with a laugh. I mean, look, obviously the situation in Gaza, very serious, as you heard Emily Wither. And by the way, we're very blessed to have her, the only morning show in the Treasure Valley that takes you live to these events. Coming up, we'll talk to Jeff Manasso, but I think that's a big deal that we can go live to Israel and speak with her and, of course, the newsmakers and your voice as well. Let's go back to the phones. And I was thinking of him over the weekend. Gene and Cuna joins us now at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller. Hello, Gene.
Good morning, my friend. Are you doing well today?
I'm living the dream.
Hey, there you go. I just had some comments, Kevin, that first off, you know, there's been so much hoopla about, you know, Israel and Gaza and everything, and Israel is not supposed to defend themselves. And the other day when they had a 5-hour ceasefire so the Gazans could get their food and get some money and get water, and just 1 hour into it, I believe it was just 1 hour into it, that Hamas already started firing rockets back into Israel. They wouldn't even honor a simple 5-hour ceasefire so their people could get something to eat and drink and a little bit of normalcy in their lives. They wouldn't even allow that. And yet Israel is not supposed to defend themselves. They're supposed to just lay down and take it. That's just not right. And of course it's not going to matter whether Israel says, okay, we'd stop if you'd stop firing rockets, because Hamas is going to say, well, too bad, you can stop if you want, but we're not going to stop. And they won't. They're a warlike lot, and they're just going to keep hammering Israel until they get everything they want. And once they get everything they want, then they're going to find somebody else to pick on.
Well, here, let me pose it to you here at 580KIDO.
Sure.
And it's what Chris Troop has said, and we've said it to a degree, but he articulated it. Look, as long as there's beer in the fridge and there's gas in the four-wheeler, we've mm-hmm. all checked out. What happens, dear friend, if the world would end and nobody cares because we're distracted with the inane? I mean, really, that's kind of where we are. And I hate to say it, the Russians shoot down a plane, they're going through the bodies, and we're sitting here going, well, we're gonna get the Europeans involved.
It's like, it's all, folks.
Exactly.
That's not what they're saying.
Yeah.
And they're wondering, okay, we found a wallet in a field. Okay, it had nothing in it. Well, sure, it doesn't have anything in it, because the militants, what they've done, or pro-Russians, whatever they are, they're opportunists. Everything is laying out there. If they can get money, gold, jewels, whatever, they steal it off the dead bodies. Talk about ravaging, you know, the deceased people and not respecting the dead, you know, not trying to give them any kind of peace or solace. I mean, they're dead, of course, but still, these people are tyrants, just plain and simple. And there's just one other thing, you know, this thing with the border, and we've got millions of kids coming over. The people in power don't understand. Once the kids come over here, the kids get so to speak, a green card, or they get a place to live, then here come the parents. The parents are going to come in on the coattails of the kids, unfortunately. And I've seen this before, being in the military in third world countries. You know, kids go back and forth from one border to the other, then pretty soon here come the parents. And it's like, it's a never ending flood of people. It's not going to stop. And, it's just, I just wish, I just pray that our leaders would look at this for what it is. And yeah, sure, the kids need something.
Sure.
But they're not going to find it here.
No, you're right, Gene. I got to run, but thank you.
Okay, my brother, you have a blessed day. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, God bless our friend Gene and Cuna. Always on the road, always working hard. Quickly to traffic 5. And it is 6:59, Patriot Ray. If you can hang on or call us back, we'd love to talk to you coming up at 7:05. We'll talk about the border, the economy, and the future. Dave Pence is off today, so it's more of you and me. Isn't that exciting for all of us? Well, we'll try and make it work, won't we? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Serving Emmett.